Good morning. When I was thinking about this message, I was thinking about light and the idea that we talk about when we want to know something more about ourselves or something, we say, let's shed a little light on the subject. Light is a wonderful, wonderful part of what we celebrate in Christian metaphysics and metaphysics around the world, regardless of the label. We talk about light dispelling darkness. And this came originally, at least in our Christian Bible, from the very beginning. God said, let there be light. Light is not only visible to us in our eyes and life, it comes from the inside. Light is the thing that heals us. It is part of the love of God. We are, as we say, enlightened. We are walking away from the darkness of self-condemnation, of self-negation, of other criticism, of criticism of ourselves. That's walking towards the light. And when we shed light on whatever subject, it generally means that we are seeking and acknowledging and affirming a new way of being. I hope to shed some light on you today, and I hope that it comes forth out of me, because it's something that has upheld and sustained me for many years before I ever heeded the call to ministry. I don't think there's anything mysterious about this. There have been some folks that say light healing should be this way and color healing should be that way. And if these things work, I'm for them. I'm for what makes us joyous, happy, kinder, and more loving people. I don't believe you can call in the light of God in an incorrect way. I don't believe that when you are trying to unravel a human problem, that you can take the light of understanding and misuse it. Light contains, by its definition in our group, light contains the love and peace and wonder and majesty of God. In fact, those things that we love to see, or at least I do, those pastoral pictures and postcards that have to do with the purple mountains majesties and the beautiful valleys and the green meadows and those lush things that are so pretty to look at, that is a reflection of light. And believe it or not, that purple mountain's majesty and that wonderful scenery that I love and perhaps you love has to be inside of us first for us to recognize the majesty. So you see, God kind of built in the appreciation and the love that He showed in having this world and having us be here. As one president put it, 1,000 points of light, I'd say 10 billion points of light. Every time that a human being was born, that was a point of light. That's a point of the creation of God. And we're here to grow. And we grow best when we understand. I said the measure of life, the measure of a person, is not necessarily what they do and not necessarily the things they accumulate and the things that make the big news and all that. It's what you understand. It's what you understand about yourself and what you understand about others. Understanding is the pathway for light. Let me explain. You can have some very upset, negative energy, and people can say, we just need more light. We just need to get light in this or we'll understand. And what happens is the light is turned towards another direction and it becomes contentious. It becomes a way to hurt and harm and disregard and not listen. And that's a misuse of light. That's a misuse of the power. Light always is loving from the Father. We have lights here. We have, you know, lights on the street. But the light that I'm talking about is an inner glow that recognizes that you are one with the divine. You never were separated for an instant, no matter what anybody told you. That you were always whole and complete. that God only knew perfection about you, and that that perfection in you is sustainable throughout eternity and now. You can't lose. This universe is rigged for your continuing growth and your continuing expansion. If people say, how do you know that? I say, look at where we are now, from where we have been. Humankind is going somewhere. We wonder where sometimes, but the place that we feel the best is when we know that healing has occurred because somebody has invoked the light in some part of this world or in some relationship. It can be the smallest to the largest. Understanding and love and light make us and help us be all that we can be. You know, I think about how people have used this in their healing through the years. My grandfather was a surgeon and a doctor, and many times internal family medicine and a surgeon. And sometimes he would tell people that they need to get out and sit in the sunshine. This was before the days of sunscreen. Get out and soak up the sun and you'll feel better. That was a great prescription of his. Just let the light shine on you. He knew, in a way, I think, that when you're doing that, you're communing with the very essence of the nature of who you are. We know that expansion and love and light feel better. It's just sometimes we don't know how to express it. We find ourselves at a loss for words. And at that time, sometimes we just have to sit back, close our eyes, and say, God, work through me. God, help me. And light and love always come forward when it's invoked like that, when it is asked like that, and was affirmed in a positive way. The stories of people that have had their lives changed talk about a moment of enlightenment. And one of the things that has stayed with me over the years was a meeting that wasn't really supposed to happen between myself and this famous actor, Robert Young. And how you may know him from Father Knows Best in the 1950s and later Marcus Welby, M.D., and before that, many, many movies. But he said something that I could never forget, and he said it to a group of people, so I'm sure it's quite okay to talk about it here. I said to him, when I watched Father Knows Best, I always wanted a home like that. I had a wonderful home, but you know how perfect it was in that time, and every situation, every problem was handled inside 30 minutes. And we were on to the next week. Well, Mr. Young burst my bubble when I said that because he said, I wanted that kind of life too. And I didn't have it. And he said, and I'll tell you something else. He said, throughout that series, I drank heavily. I was full of terror. And I was scared to even go out sometimes and do my job. He said, it got so bad that after the series was canceled, I went on the road doing stage work, and I finally had a nervous breakdown in Chicago in 1964. He said, the shell that I was carried back to Carmel, California, and to a small cottage that his wife, Betty, and he owned. At that time, his wife was very interested in the science of mind and unity and metaphysics. Robert Young said, up till this point, I had considered that the province of fools, charlatans, frauds, and crooks. I wanted no part of it. He said, to me, life was a bad play, badly directed, badly staged, badly produced. But during those times of healing, she began to talk, his wife, Betty, began to talk with him about these principles that we're talking about today. She began to talk about the fact that life, far from being a dog-eat-dog adventure, can be different if we change our attitude. And the interesting thing that he said was the conversations would start at that cottage at 7 p.m. after dinner, and they'd be talking till 3 or 4 in the morning, and they wouldn't even know it, they wouldn't even feel tired because of the wonderful energy and interchange between them. Some healing was happening. And during that time, and this was 1966, his wife Betty needle-pointed a framed saying that she put above the door in that Carmel cottage. And it said, "Through these doors pass no hurry, worry, anxiety, or stress. Through these doors pass peace of mind, love, and understanding." Robert Young said, "I did what's called in aviation a Methuselah turn. I realized my way wasn't working. I was in my 60s. The prospects didn't look very well, and I might have to exist on the residuals that I had, and Father knows best." He said, "I decided to surrender to the light that Betty talked about." He began to read Unity material, our daily word, our lessons in truth, Science of Mind material by Ernest Holmes. He began to practice affirmations and call forth the light that was inside him as best he knew at the time. The day came when the alcohol was gone, when the piercing migraines that had bothered him for many years left. And he said, "I felt half my age." He said, "I didn't have this huge conversion while I fell on my knees." He said, "I just started doing one thing differently every day." And I said, "What was that?" He said, "Besides the reading, I looked at myself and said, I'm a point of light. And it doesn't matter how famous or how well known I am. I'm just like anybody else, and I hurt and I need help. I hurt, I need help, and I want the light." That's what we talk about in Unity. Now, there's a better even ending to this story, because when he thought it was all over in 66, a man named Rodney Young called him and said, "I'd like you to think about a part that we have for a middle-aged family doctor and see if you like it." And from there came Marcus Welby and another 10 years of fame, and this time a happier, healthier Robert Young, who then served on the board of the United Church of Religious Science and sought to bring into Marcus Welby the ideas of alternative healing and homeopathy and things that have helped throw us into a new way of understanding medicine, a new way of understanding health. That happened in the 60s in many ways. But you see how one individual was used by saying, "I don't understand, I can't live this way, I need help." His life became a blessing, and he was blessed even more so than he was before. I heard that story and was so moved and inspired by it, then I said, "I wish you would write an autobiography." He said, "I don't have time." He said, "But what I hope to do is through Unity and Science of Mind and some of these other New Thought groups, I hope to tell enough of my story so that you understand even somebody that was as whipped and as licked as I was, who drank before every show, who took handfuls of pills and suffered the tortures of the damned with migraines, can come forward and make a difference. I'm just like anybody else." You see, life is a leveler for all of us. We can have a lot of money. We can have a lot of fame. We can be lonely. And we can be, as somebody says, we're forsaken. But we always have a chance to change our mind. We're as forsaken as we let ourselves be. We are alone as much as we allow that to happen, because the presence and the power and the love of God is always with you. And I can prove that right now. You're alive. You're breathing. You can think. You can make another choice. You can choose in favor of yourself. You can choose in favor of letting go of the things that are less than for your good. Hope is alive here. And when we walk out of here and we're not necessarily all together, it's so easy to think, well, it's back the way it was. No, it's not. You have people here that love you. You have people here that will talk to you, understand you, give you comfort. I know this church. I know the people in this church. I'm blessed by them constantly. And I know that all you have to do is reach out. You see, I want to see us expand. And you know, I've talked about it for 2 or 3 months now. We have something special here that I want the entire city of Bernie and Kendall County and South Texas to know about. I want to see us a beacon of light to hurting people, a place to come and be renewed. That's the proper function of any church. We don't make condemnation here. We don't give judgment here. That's not what we're about. We're about light and love. When I say shedding some light on the subject, I also want to say, shed some light on yourself right now. You all are wonderful people. I've talked with every one of you. And I feel it. And I know it. And I'm fed by it. And it helps me go out in the course of my ministry and shed the light where I have to. Understanding always works, or at least the desire to understand. Rigid, hard opinions about how life should be seem to be difficult. They hurt because we're continually bumping into things that if we had just been a little more understanding or a little more giving to ourselves or others, or a little less resistant, we would feel better. You see, I think, and I believe very much, but I thought this before I really believed it, God wants happy people. And happy people spread the word, spread the news, spread the love, spread the light. How many negative people have you ever seen that affect a positive change? Oh, I know there's theology out there that says you're a sinner. You are broken by birth. You need the atoning grace of Jesus Christ. Well, that's already available. It's not something that one particular group owns. Nobody has the patent on that, because Christ Jesus himself never said that. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That left nobody out. This church leaves nobody out. We embrace differences and we celebrate commonalities. The light that we have to give, we first have felt ourselves. And that's wonderful. And we still are trying to shed light in other parts of ourselves. We all are a work in progress. But the more that we do that, the more that we have to give. And for us to grow to what I know that all of us would like to be, which is all we can be, for us to grow, we have to give that first to ourselves. We have to affirm our inherent perfection. Now that is difficult for some folks to understand, because sometimes they've looked at me and said, I'm not perfect. Well, yes, you're clothed in a human body, and bodies do eventually wear out, and there are lessons to be learned that always aren't fun, but you have an inherent perfection that the more you realize and the more you lean to it and the more that you embrace it, the more that you affect yourself and other people. That's another way of saying energy. You've walked into a room, I'm sure, and you felt the energy sink. And you've also walked into a room and you felt uplifted. What is the difference? It's invisible. My atheist friends say, I don't believe in anything I can't see. I said, well, then why do you pay your electric bill? And why do you care about clean air? And why do you listen to a radio with microwaves that are coming through? You can't see that. Well, you see, No, it's not different. This is energy. God is energy. God is energy, love, and light. And the more you tune into that, the more that you make a decision in favor of that, the better your life works. Even if you're called on to go through some difficult times, and I know that each one of us are in one way or another. I don't give flip answers, and I don't want to give pat ideas about how simple it may be. Sometimes it calls for the greatest resolve that we have. But you know, that's growth. That's expansion. Expansion sometimes hurts. It pushes us out of our comfort zone. It breaks patterns, and it's always new. Constriction is easy. It's called the comfort zone. It's called poor me. It's called I'm not able. You're very able. You're very capable. And all that you have to do is call that forth inside you. And any good teacher, any good minister, any good advisor will tell you that you have the power. Not somebody else, not the church, not a group, you. And then when you make the best you, you help make that group the best group. It's always individual. I don't believe it's collective in that way. My job, as I see it, is to effectively collapse the distance between ourselves and God. In other words, that there's a God that you have to beg and plead to give you the gifts that He has promised through His abundance. I don't believe that there is a separation there. The separation is the one we create by our judgments, by our long-held and cherished opinions that we don't necessarily want to let go of. Now, I'm not asking you to upend your values and the things you live by. Not at all. I'm asking you to challenge your ideas of negativity or lack of understanding towards yourself and towards others. Because if we don't do it here, it's very, very difficult to do it out there. I'm not seeing somebody that works in healing somebody else or facilitating that healing that isn't clear about the light they have inside themselves and the love they want to give. Life hurts us all. So please don't hear me say this is easy. I may say it's simple. You just turn towards it. You turn towards the light and you say, have your way. God, what would you have me do? Those kinds of simple statements, not a theological drama, not a course of classes for 12 months and a blessing here from somebody that bumped up to another blessing. That's all fine if that's what you need, but really it can be done right where you are with a simple change of mind. Love is letting go of fear. And the greater degree that we let go of fear, the more that love we have to give. The problem is we contain both. Fear is constriction. Love is expansion. Love is light. Jerry Jampolsky wrote a book called Out of the Darkness into the Light. He also wrote the book I just referenced, Love is Letting Go of Fear. Come out of the darkness, as he said, of self-abnegation, self-condemnation, self-restriction. Be willing to be part of a bigger life. And when that happens, our church becomes bigger because that's what we have to offer. You see, I'm all for the things that we do that are fun. Our metaphysical fairs, our church dinners, our get-togethers are all wonderful. I want everybody else to be a part of that too. I want them to know about it. And the best way, the best advertisement there is, the best way to do that is to go out and be who we are. I know that it's difficult to get some people to come Sundays. I know that that's their day. They say that they want to rest and do nothing. But if the church is right, and this one is, they come and they're empowered. They come and they want to come again. I've heard it. I've heard what they've had to say, those that who have been here and now come on a regular basis. I've heard what folks say that visit us. They say, I've never seen a place like this. I've never experienced this particular form of magic that I walked in the door and felt. How wonderful. That's a wonderful commentary on us and what we do. Yes, we want to see our numbers increase, but we want to do it in the right way for the right reason. That we're offering the light we have inside, that we've shed light on ourselves and now ready to give it to others. When you feel at times that it's too much, that what you're going through hurts just a little too much, remember, you can turn. You can choose once again. You can say this may be the way it is now, but it came to pass, not to stay. There is nothing negative in this world that will last forever. But the positive in this world, love, is the only thing you can take with you. The love you give away. I've done a few funerals in my time, and I've stood there where people were crying and upset about the loss of their loved one. And they've said, but he had so many hobbies and so many things, there were so many material things, and he loved life, and all that was great. But you can't take any of that with you. Eventually, it becomes effluvia, things that you have to release. All you can take with you is who you are, and that's love, and the love you've given away, and the difference you've made in your life and somebody else's. You can choose to do that. You can choose to love yourself by forgiving yourself, by self-healing, by saying, I know that there is a place for me to grow. I don't condemn myself for my past because it led me here to this moment of healing. Do you see how your mistakes and the things you feel guilty about can be used for new life? It's not denying that you did it, and it's not denying making amends. It's saying, I've come to this point because of what happened, and I'm ready to go forward and walk in newness of life. That is the gospel message. That's the message that any church should be teaching, most especially what we do. The Buddha said, your life is what your thoughts make of it. You see, throughout all the world, most every religion is agreed that you have to turn in faith and walk by faith. And that love is the sine qua non of what you should be about and what we should be about and what covered the world all those many, many years ago. Ernest Holmes said, if it ever got to be that there would be 51% negativity in the world, we'd probably cease to exist. He believed that there was better than 50% positivity and love. He believed that through the ensuing years, that humankind would learn that their understanding of each other would be of prime importance. Not wars, not preparing for wars, not hitting each other, but understanding one another and coming together in a spirit of love and goodwill. That was the Holmes vision for the world. The Fillmores said, this magnificent thing we call unity will encircle the world. That's why there are wings on this globe. They believed that truth would take flight and touch many, many people in the world, and it has. We're not the best kept secret anymore. We are now an alternative to those who are tired of a traditional mainline church that says the same thing every Sunday about being broken in need of grace, broken in need of grace. It becomes rote, and it doesn't change lives. What changes lives is your own decision, and then you're able to give yourself the love and forgiveness that you deserve, because you are a point of light. It's yours for the taking. All you have to do is make a decision. Now, I told you I didn't want to make this seem to be so easy. So I'm going to hit the hard part just for a minute. We all have things called egos. It's called in metaphysics, EGO, easing God out. Now, I don't mean the ego that likes a particular brand of car or prefers this particular food or even enjoys being complimented on a dish or a work job well done or something. When I say a dish of cooked food, these things are all fine to do. They are part of our showing our love for one another. The ego I'm talking about is the one that thrives on separation, that thrives on division, that says a cynical multiplication that you can multiply by dividing people. That never works. when you divide people, when you make them afraid, when you make them not trust themselves, when you say that they are in need of help and only you can give it, you are promoting fear, distrust, and something that never lasts. You know, they say Christianity would be wonderful if it was tried once. Nobody has ever really tried to do it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because we can't. But does it mean that it's not wonderful? We just can't be perfect all the time. That's why we need to forgive ourselves. That's why we need to shed the light on ourselves. Be patient with yourself. Love yourself. The system works. The Jesus Christ way works. The Buddha way works. There are many ways that work because truth is universal. Jesus transcended his body, I think, to show us that he did not have a monopoly on truth, that the body is not what he was talking about. It was participation in a certain life, in the things that were invisible being the things that are most important. Love is invisible. It can be made visible by certain acts, but it is invisible. And the very, very wonderful things about our lives, most of them are invisible. That knowing look between a friend, two friends, that understanding between a husband and a wife. That moment you look at your child's eyes and you see God. And in my case, looking in the eyes of an animal, a dog, a cat, I see God looking right back at me. And I love it. And it enthralls me. But this ego, we've got to get it. Forgive it. We've got to say, I have some encrusted opinions about things. I don't want to hear sometimes what the other folks say. I've heard it so often before. There's no really need for me to understand where they are or what's going on. I know what's right for me. Well, that's fine. But try to understand what got the other person where they are. And then when you do that, other areas of understanding open up inside you. It's a willingness to grow. The ego can hurt us and do it so badly and then hurt other people that come in contact with us. And it's usually preceded by, I'm right and you're wrong. The better way to say it would be, I feel this is the effective way for me to live. What do you think? What can you offer? When we come to talk about things that upset us with one another, if we want to get anywhere, we don't say, you did this and it's horrible, and you start going through a catalog. You say, how can I understand better? How can I put this sense of hurt aside? How can I get myself aside to hear you? And can you do that too? And in some way we come and we meet. That's love, whether it's called that or not. And that's what's going to heal us, and that's what's going to heal our world. So it turns out, the dreamy-eyed metaphysicians were right all along. Emerson, Thoreau, Ms. Eddy, Nona Brooks, Melinda Kramer, Ernest Holmes, these wonderful people that told us that basically love was the answer. And that divine love rests on the principles of truth. And truth will demolish an ego. It's going to upend your world for a moment, but it's going to set you right. And I think every one of us here wants to be healed and wants to live what's right and true for us. And what's right and true for us is the love that we give away. I hope this week you have plenty of opportunities to practice this. That you forgive an old grievance, an old hurt, and that you expand to all that God intended you to be. Maybe through a simple prayer, maybe through healing a rift, maybe through forgiving yourself, forgiving someone else. Big doors swing on little hinges. Don't forget those small things, and whatever you do, don't forget the romance of life. Because as Desiderata says, Max Ehrman, who wrote it, with all its sham and drudgery, it's still this world's a wonderful place. I invite you to see that wonder, shed that light, and go forth in love. And so it is.